Right, mic check.
Mic check.
Oh, it looks great.
Okay. Good.
Hey guys, welcome to the Make the Switch podcast. Today we're starting off the episode with a listener question. So the question is, what made you transition into a state of maintenance? So for those of you who may not be aware, there's typically three phases that people can be in. So there's the cutting phase, which is where you're typically trying to lose body fat. There's the bulking phase, where you're trying to build muscle. And then there's a maintenance phase, where you're essentially just trying to stay the same.
Right.
So Nick, what made you transition into a state of maintenance?
For me, I think it was my knee injury that caused me to transition into a state of maintenance. And the only reason for that really was that at the time that I got injured, I was like at my peak, I guess. So I was pushing the limits, I feel like. And I mean, that's how injuries can happen. So got injured, and then during recovery and getting back into things, I just kind of had a change of mindset and thought, you know, I don't need to be pushing myself, doing all these extreme, crazy things. I also am a little bit limited in what I can do post-injury. But yeah, just kind of thought, well, I don't need to be pushing myself that hard anymore. So I just built myself back up to a place that I was comfortable with. And I'm just happy where I am right now. So
yeah, totally understandable, because, and we'll get into this in the episode, but pushing yourself is going to result in a lot of different not so great things. So for me, it's kind of interesting, because I feel like I overall am in a state of maintenance with bursts of maybe like cutting and bulking. But the reason why I am majority of the time in a maintenance state is because, really, because of Make the Switch. I, for years, was in this phase of cutting, then bulking and cutting and bulking. And it was exhausting. And it wasn't, I think, maybe sustainable in the way that I was doing it, which was very rapid back to back. And so I similarly, I think with just learning how to work out and getting into the gym, I did eventually get to a place where I was like happy with, and I mentally was like, I can't keep doing this. And so I wanted to just be in maintenance, because it provides me with balance. I'm able to still pursue fitness goals in the gym, but also, you know, have more flexibility with my diet, still prioritizing protein. But it just made me, it makes me happy to be in a state of maintenance.
Yeah. And that's one thing about us too that I just want to say again. What caused us to switch into a phase of maintenance is how extreme we both were. So like your bulking, cutting, like I just remember that being back to back, but not only that, I remembered it being very extreme for you too.
And just I think in both of our cases, it was burnout, like yours in like maybe a physical burnout, and mine in a mental burnout.
And that is kind of an interesting thing to think, because I wonder, well, what if I never had gotten injured? Would I have been like still like trying to grow and like get bigger? And like, I don't even know what would have happened, or would I have just mentally burned out and then been like, okay, I'm at maintenance? Or I mean, it's hard to say. But
I feel like you would have continued.
Really?
Yeah, I just feel like
if nothing physically was stopping me, I would have kept
going. I mean, I don't know. It is hard to say. But I do feel like you were in such a state of progression. And I remember the knee injury being such a mental challenge, you know, that it forced you to physically change. So I don't know. It is interesting to think about. But potentially mentally, you would have been burnt out too, like, because I was. So, yeah. Well, I think this is a great question to really just transition into our episode today, which is our kind of injury rundown. Nick and I, we've both faced injuries, minor and extreme. I think that it's something that is really important to realize that actually a statistic is that around 20% of people who exercise regularly have some form of workout-related injury per year, whether it is minor strains or more severe injuries. So this is something that, you know, a fifth of the population is facing regularly. So I think it's like significant to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Victoria, how about you start and tell us about this crutch over there?
Yes, y'all. All right. So I have this crutch next to me because I actually just had hip surgery 1 month ago. And Lord, I did not think I'd be having hip surgery at 28, but it's honestly been a blessing. So just a little bit of background. About 3 years ago, I started facing really bad hip pain to the point where I couldn't do squats. I couldn't do a lot of different like lunges and leg workouts. And then it even got to the point where even walking hurt. Like if I were to forget uphill walking or hiking, like no. But even just walking for like 15 minutes hurt really bad. So went to the doctor and they told me that I had a hip impingement, which is basically the joint and socket in my right hip don't like move together smoothly. So I was in physical therapy for several months in 2022. Got a lot better. And I gotta tell you, I was like a big skeptic of physical therapy. I thought it was kind of like some mumbo jumbo like type thing. I was like, this ain't gonna fix me. But it did. I think I actually felt a lot better. And for all of 2023, I wasn't feeling pain. Now, I think it's important to note, I had drastically changed my workout routine. I wasn't doing any strenuous lower body exercises. I was doing physical therapy exercises every time I worked out. I incorporated Pilates more
I was literally just going to ask that, if you could talk about that.
You know, so Pilates was something that I found a lot of relief from. It's very much about strengthening your hip and your core and your glutes, and all of that was beneficial to my hip. And it just, it's more about reps than weight, you know? So I felt like it wasn't as much pressure on my hip, and it really also reinforced stretching, and it was amazing. So I started doing that 2 to 3 times a week, weightlifting still, but not as much, and no uphill walking. I was mainly doing the elliptical. So I made a lot of, I think, lifestyle changes that masked the injury in a way because I felt like I was so much better.
And I mean, that's all you could do at that point.
At that point,
that was good, right?
So it was good. I didn't feel pain. I was able to walk longer and all these things. Then come 2024, I got a little confident and I was like, okay, I'm fine. So I started incorporating like Bulgarian split squats, which are kind of like an intense form of lunges, you know, and the biggest thing is I started doing HIIT workouts. And I think that was my demise. I started feeling so much intense pain again, I think worse than in 2022. Went back to the doctor and through several appointments and back and forth, long story short, found out that I had a labrum tear. So the cartilage surrounding my joint had torn and that is what was causing the pain.
But also had the impingement.
And also
still
the impingement. So when I ended up meeting with a surgeon and he kind of suspects that I've had this labrum tear for maybe even a decade.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like to think. But that pain didn't start till like the tail end of the decade, I guess.
And I think it's because in 2022, I started an extreme workout regimen where I was working out probably double what I had been previously. And I think that made the injury come to light.
And wait, what year was this?
2022.
Okay.
So it was, like just a or I'm sorry, not 2022, 2021.
2021. That's what I was going to say.
Yes, yes. So
that's
2021.
That was my extreme too.
Yes, I remember. We were both in it, like in the thralls.
That was our year, but also not.
Right, exactly. So yeah, 2021 is when I really started upping the ante for the workouts. My surgeon even said a lot of people probably have labrum tears that either they ignore or because they're not as physically active, they don't ever feel it.
Yeah.
But I think, again, really increasing the amount of working out I was doing and the extreme workouts that I was doing is what made it come to light. So
if you weren't an active person,
I wouldn't have known.
You wouldn't have known.
That's
true. And maybe, like, I don't know. I don't want to say that's a good thing to not be inactive, but maybe it was good that you found this out when you were in your late 20s versus being in your late 50s. And then what?
1,000%.
Yeah.
So when I had my post-op appointment, my doctor literally said to me, it is a blessing that you really pursued what was wrong and that in a way you were active and had to deal with this pain.
Right.
Because he told me, had I not gotten the surgery, I would most likely have gotten arthritis in my later years.
Right.
Slash maybe would have needed a hip replacement.
Yeah.
So if I was sedentary in my 20s and, you know, sedentary in my 30s and whatever, and now I'm 40, 50 and I'm feeling this pain, well, it would have progressed much worse than it is right now.
Right.
And so it is a blessing that I was active and okay, yeah, I was too extreme and that brought the injury to light. So again, we're not saying like, oh, well, you know, be extreme now so you can figure out what's wrong. But it's what happened. It was a blessing.
Yeah, because at a certain point, well, it may have been too late.
Exactly.
And then what?
Yeah.
So.
And so just to kind of wrap up the hip story, I'm about 1 month post-operation, feeling really good. And I feel like I'm healing well. Like I said, the doctor said it was a blessing that I got it done. And I know it's going to be a long road ahead. I have had to kind of change my mindset and expectations of, you know, I love going to the gym. I love working out. It's a part of my lifestyle and it gives me stress relief and it helps me sleep at night. And it, you know, it does all these things for me that I've had to just kind of mentally say, I'm having a little bit of a hiatus for my long-term health.
Yeah.
So if there's anything you can take from this, do not ignore injuries, y'all, because we are not invincible at any age. You know, whether you're 20 years old listening to this or 50 years old listening to this, if there is something wrong, early intervention is going to help. And if you wait till it's unbearable or you just ignore it, you're just doing yourself a disservice. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Nick, we kind of touched on this. 2021 was not our year. So tell us a little bit more about your injury. Yeah.
Well, I feel like 2021 was the year, but then, but then at the end it wasn't.
Wasn't, yeah.
But, I mean, long story short for my injury, 2021 was when I really bulked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, like, increased my diet by a lot. I wouldn't say, like, doubled my like weight at the gym, but I definitely like increased it a lot to where if you saw a picture of me from like fall 2020 to literally like late spring 2021, like in the matter of like half a year or less, like
drastic
literally
change.
Like drastic.
Yeah.
And one, that could have just been too fast, but basically, later in that year of 2021 is when I got a knee injury, and I honestly, like, don't even know, like, what it was from.
Right.
Like, it's just hard to say. Like,
you can't
the doctors,
pinpoint it.
Right. Like, I can't pinpoint it. There definitely was a day that it just felt really bad, and that's when I, from that point on, was like, I need to see what's going on with this. So it could have either happened, like, recently before that, or it could have been like a wear and tear thing over time. Because I mean, at that point, I've been working out for years, especially with how it got ramped up during that year.
Yeah.
But basically, there is a pad of cartilage that's on the back of your kneecap, and it cracked.
Oh, God.
Like, all the way down to the bone. Like, that's what they saw on the MRI. Oh. Which is, like, very deep.
I did not know that.
Yes.
My God.
And I basically was not able to use that leg. Like, I could walk, but I could not run. I could not jump or, like, definitely not do any HIIT workout. Could not use that leg at the gym. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I remember you literally not being able to use that leg.
No, like, I literally could not use that leg. Like, so there was a period of time from when the injury happened and just going to, like, multiple doctors, getting different
tests done, opinions. Yeah.
And during that time of probably, like, 6 months, because I, like, really took my time, I literally could not use that leg. Like, I would go to the gym, and every single leg thing I did, it would have to be one leg on the other leg. And it was just a very difficult thing to have to go through. And, like, it's one thing to have a mindset change that happens over time, but, like, that literally happened overnight. So it was like, now I'm going into the gym and I can't even use that leg. So I had to, like, recreate everything. And it was just, like,
it was hard for you.
It was hard.
It was, I feel like it was a low point for you. I just remember it being very difficult.
Probably one of my lowest points. But I said this in an episode once before. It was so low, but I kept going to the gym because I knew it was good for me. Yeah. And I didn't want to give up on the rest of my body. Like, I still had other limbs I could use. So I was like, I might as well just try and keep going. And then at, like, the 6 month mark of that, I finally decided to get this procedure done. And they basically had to take stem cells out of my hip bone and put them into my knee, and it essentially was supposed to, like, fill that crack in.
Like, regenerate
new cells, and it was supposed to fill that crack in, and then it was supposed to be good after that. And had that procedure done, the recovery, like, wasn't that bad. Like, I was able to, like, walk. I mean, like, not really, like, right after it, but, like, after, like, a week. And then my knee was very swollen and whatever, just, like, all that stuff. But it ended up not really feeling like anything happened. And I was like, okay, like, why did I just do all this?
Yeah.
And then I had to start physical therapy, and I was going to that. And I don't even know if I should be saying this, but I literally was going, I went to physical therapy twice. And actually, let me back up for a minute. Before I had the procedure, I actually went to physical therapy for my knee.
To try to help it.
To try to help it, because that was that's the first step before you get something done to your knee. They're like, let's see if we can fix it with physical therapy. So I had been going for that, obviously didn't do anything, had the procedure. And then I had to go after that to, like, re-strengthen my leg. So I went, like, a couple times, and I was like, why am I even going to this when I literally could do this at the gym? I was like, I can just re-strengthen my own leg.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I just didn't go to physical therapy anymore. And I just did my own exercises, and I would do, like, things, like, very, very slowly at the gym. Like, started with body weight. Just would do, like, one leg, like, you know, certain exercises, like tensing my, like, quad muscles and, like, trying to reactivate them.
Yeah.
And eventually it, over time, did work to where I wasn't really feeling pain anymore. And I started noticing I was being able to use that leg again. So I kind of attributed that to, well, how the procedure and
slowly
re-strengthening the muscle and activating it again. And then at a certain point, it just felt like I was back to normal. But the thing is, I'm not back to normal. I would say it's at, like, 90%. And that's kind of what they told me for the procedure. They're like, you know, usually people get back up to, like, 90%. And honestly, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like,
It's better than nothing.
So much better than nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be 100%. There definitely are limitations. I don't do heavy barbell squats anymore. Mm. I don't really do like free weight leg exercises, or I just don't really do like single leg things anymore, just yeah. because I don't want to put all that pressure on one knee and have something happen again.
Right.
So I've had to like rework my split, but honestly, it's fine. And like, I just can't even complain, because yeah. I'll take 90% over nothing at any time.
And I think that's why back in 2021, when this was all happening, it was so hard for you, because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were in a mentality of all or nothing.
Right.
Like, I think.
And that, progression only.
Yes. Gotta go up. Gotta right. improve. Like, no, like, taking a step back or reevaluating. Right. Like, I feel like that was the hurdle you had to get over. And again, it kind of spurred make the switch in it a way.
Did. Like, it really did.
Unknowingly back then, because you had to realize that doing something is better than nothing.
Right.
And that's like the entire message we're right. trying to get across to people.
Now, one thing I do want to just mention really quickly
mm-hmm.
about that injury period was it did definitely put me in a depression.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've like experienced any depression related to like your injury or having to do with the gym, but just going off of what you just said, in a mentality of progress only,
mm-hmm.
needing to go up, up, and up, that got shut down.
Because when you're in that mindset and you can't keep going up, well, then I feel like it's reinforcing like failure. Like
right.
it's making you feel
right.
like you are a failure.
Right.
And that's, yeah, like
right.
mentally can really affect someone.
And it definitely was like a battle with depression during that time.
Yeah.
And I got through it. And I just wanted to say, like, for anyone that is struggling with an injury or some kind of limitation, just know that it will get better.
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't get 100% better, like, your brain will adapt. Like,
yeah.
you're not going to be in a depression for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, things do change. Things do get better. I saw improvement.
Yeah.
I'm like basically back to where I was before. One thing that I had to like always reiterate to myself during this time period, and even sometimes still now, because my knee isn't fully 100%, and sometimes I'll just be like, oh, I wish I could do that heavy squat or whatever, is during that time of the injury, I kept having to reiterate in my head, you are injured.
Yeah.
And you have a limitation, and all you can do is all you can do. And that's
yeah.
what I just had to keep thinking during that time, because from going from a peak to that,
yeah,
it was just such a stark contrast. Like, I went from being able to do everything to not really being able to do anything. And I just had to keep telling myself that I was hurt and that I couldn't.
Yeah.
And
that's
fine.
A mentality change.
That's all I could do.
Yeah.
So
I also feel like I want to take this time to talk about something that I feel like can be applied to fitness, but also just anything, you know, in life.
Yeah.
I feel like our change in our mentality comes with experience, but also age and kind of maturing.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen at different points for different people. But I feel like when we were younger, there is this like internalized competition that we have.
Yeah.
I think that we both were kind of struggling with our inner voice
right.
of like, we have these expectations for ourselves. We have this, you know, thing that we feel like we need to be or have. So like, whether that be a certain lifestyle, a certain job,
right.
a certain body physique, a certain, you know, like way of being or whatever. I just feel like at least for me, I really struggled with my own opinions of myself and my own internalized competition. Mm. No one around me was putting pressure on me to do anything, literally. You are. Like, I feel blessed to say that my parents supported me in anything, my friends support me in everything. Like, no one was putting pressure on me, like I was putting pressure on me. And it was debilitating. It was something that I truly had to get over and realize that I'm the one making myself unhappy and I need to get over it.
Right.
And it took time. Like, this did not happen overnight, but I think the mental burnout, like we've talked about and like we always say, made me make the switch. And of course, you know, this is a fitness and wellness podcast, but it truly, I feel like I've made the switch in so many aspects of my life. I'm not trying to be anything for anyone. Of course, I have goals. Of course, we have things we want to accomplish. Right. But we also need to give ourselves grace and patience. And I know that was a little bit of a soapbox, but I just feel like it's important to talk about. When you think about all of this pressure you have, where is it coming from? Like, truly think about, is this pressure actually coming from all these external factors? Or is it coming from yourself?
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like it's, you know.
I mean, it's coming from yourself, but I think it also comes from external factors. I'm just thinking of social media.
Well, that's true.
That's another episode.
That, no, literally we need to have like an entire debrief on social media and how it affected both of us. Because you're right. That is like such an external thing.
But what you said actually reminded me of what I was going to say earlier. And it was the competition with yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And yeah, like I went from being in this state of constantly wanting to progress and being in a peak to then going to my lowest in the span of like a month or like a couple months. And it was just such a drastic change that the competition with myself became just like such a bad struggle because I couldn't keep up with myself. And that's the thing that I think about now, like, you know, there's always like competition. Okay. You see someone walking down the street or someone at the gym, like, oh, I wish I was as muscular as them, or you wish this or you wish that. There's really nothing worse than being in a competition with yourself.
Right. Because like, a lot of times we don't know these people that we're seeing online.
Right.
And so it's essentially like this competition we've built up, like comparing, and like,
and that's what unfortunately came to be. Like, I would, you know, during my injury, be like scrolling through my phone looking for something in my pictures, and I would see some picture I took from like months before, and I just like couldn't even look at it,
because
I was like,
oh, that's what I,
like, it was just bad.
Well, I think that's like a really big, like, unintentional takeaway from this of just, like, I think I love what you said earlier, like, you will adapt. Like, with anything, with any change in life, you will adapt.
Right.
And just reminding yourself that, like, you know, if you are dealing with an injury or anything, like, it's temporary. And if it's not, you will adapt.
Right.
So,
and I'm just even thinking of, like, there's so many athletes that, like, are missing a limb or have some kind of like crazy traumatic thing they went through, and look at them. They're still an athlete. They're still, you know, living their life. So
they have to do it. So some other interesting, I guess, facts about injuries. The three most common types, you have strains and sprains. And I mean, that's basically muscle injury that you're facing. I think that it's often a result from like overusing the muscle, improper technique, you know, not warming up, that kind of stuff. Then you have tendonitis, which I actually have experienced. I had tendonitis in both my knees at one point. Don't know if I still have it. I think hopefully not. Hopefully. But and that is also caused by overuse of your tendons that lead to inflammation. Some frequent areas for tendonitis are your elbows, your knees, and also your shoulders. And then, of course, back injury. That's also a very common type of injury. We've both faced it. Oh my gosh. I had a back injury one time. That was so bad. I had to go to some, you know, I don't know where. I was at work. I had to go to work, and it was so painful. I literally had to leave. I was in tears. I couldn't even sit. at my desk.
When was this?
This was, I think, literally in 2021.
Oh my gosh.
That year. The year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are some common type of injuries. A lot of times, depending on how severe it is, you might need anti-inflammatories. You might need to go to physical therapy. And actually, this brings me to a story that I want to share with you all today. So because of my hip surgery, I'm now in physical therapy twice a week for 6 to 10 weeks. So literally my last physical therapy session, I'm sitting in the waiting area, and it's me and this older woman who I would say is probably in her like late 70s. Yeah. And we're just sitting there chilling, whatever. And then this guy comes in. Actually, I should say he stumbles in.
Okay.
From the physical therapy area. And he's like, Lord, like, I got to take a seat or something before I go to my car. And I'm thinking, what the heck just happened? He's probably in his like early 50s.
Okay.
And we just kind of like, haha, like, don't say anything. And literally out of nowhere, he goes, y'all, you know what the key to getting older is? Having muscle. And I was like, boo, preach. Like me thinking like, yes, exactly, having muscle. Then the older lady kind of like motions over to me.
Yeah.
And she was like, she's not even thinking about that. She's young or something. And I was like, lady, you don't even know.
Right.
Like wishing I gave her some make the switch, right, like business card. And he was like, you know, I spent so many of my years just sitting on the couch, watching TV. Then when I was done with the couch, going to the bed, watching TV, and you know what happened? I lost all my muscle just like that. And once it's gone, well, now it's hard to build back up. And he was like literally going on this rant, like, and he was like, and then when you're older and you don't have any muscle, you're falling. And I was just thinking like, yes, oh my gosh. Yeah. And so I even said to him, I was like, absolutely, like, it's important to maintain the muscle mass. And he was like, yes. And he said, I just wish I did that. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what we are trying to get across. Like, build muscle, because that's going to help you stay strong and avoid injury.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just how it is.
Wow. I mean, that story literally is our podcast.
I know. I couldn't believe I was like sitting there. I was trying to like mentally take notes of what he was saying so I could tell y'all on the podcast. But so just kind of an interesting story.
Yeah. So for our last part today, we just kind of want to go over some prevention and recovery strategies for injuries. And the first thing is, you definitely want to incorporate warming up and stretching into your routine. Like,
yes,
that's a very crucial thing, and that's going to help reduce risk of injury.
Yeah.
One thing that comes to mind for me are dynamic stretches. So those are ones that you do with movement rather than holding a position.
Yeah.
So some examples are like air squats, arm circles, butt kicks,
walking lunges.
Yeah, walking lunges, anything that's moving but also a stretch.
Yeah.
Those would be great to incorporate. Another thing as well, rest and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're taking enough time like in between sets to, you know, get acclimated, and also make sure that you are getting enough sleep and staying hydrated, and make sure you're getting rest days.
Yeah.
Like it is important to rest and have, you know, a day, two or three off, however you plan your workout.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what comes to mind for me is there are days where I don't have a great night of sleep, and I'll wake up and I'm just kind of like messed up and feel off and very weak, honestly. And there have been times where I tell myself, you know, I really didn't want to break up my workout like this, but I'm not going to go today because I just know I'm not going to get a good workout. And I've heard people say, like, always go to the gym, like, something's better than nothing. But honestly, like, if you're really just not feeling it and you're like tired and weak, you could just get hurt. Yeah. So it's just not worth it.
It's such a like balance of like being lazy, but truly being like tired.
Right.
And I don't mean lazy in a bad way, but just like, oh, I don't feel like going to the gym.
Yeah.
Versus like, I did not get a good night's sleep. I'm tired. Right. I feel weak. Like you have to just kind of gauge and be honest with yourself. Like, honestly, am I just being kind of like a little lazy today? Or is it that I don't feel good?
Exactly.
And if you don't feel good, don't go.
Exactly. And that's how it is for me. Like I can tell the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And I'll just say it is rare that it's the I didn't sleep well, I can't go thing.
Right.
So
when
usually,
it is.
If it is like feeling a little bit lazy, I do go because I know it's better to go than not.
Yeah.
And then the last thing to prevent injury, just make sure you're using proper techniques. If you're not sure about something, look up a YouTube video, go on TikTok.
Yeah.
Look up like pictures on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll have, you know, little diagrams of how to do something. Also, if you're really not sure, like I've even seen people, you know, walking up to like the deadlift area for the first time, or maybe not the first time, have a trainer come over and watch you.
Yeah.
For like
just to
a
make
couple
sure.
Sets and reps, or show you how to start it up. Like there's no problem with that.
Actually, I remember when I first started like working out for real back like in college, I was actually at your apartment gym and I was doing squats. And I literally had this person come up to me and be like, do you not, like, are you not getting hurt doing that?
Oh.
Like, as I was doing the squats. And I was like, excuse me? And he was like, I really don't mean to, like, you know, intrude or be offensive.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, you know, you should really make sure your knees aren't going past your toes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was maybe a little embarrassed. But honestly, that moment stuck with me.
Yes.
And it reinforced that I need to have proper techniques. So, yeah, I look at YouTube videos all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a really good tip about just having someone watch you. Like if someone is working at the gym, it's better to just have them make sure or just double check on YouTube than to hurt yourself. So,
of course.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode.
Yeah.
As always, DM us your questions at Make the Switch Podcast on Instagram, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.